Email todayradio@rte.ie.
Now, they want radical change in housing, transport and carbon emissions, and they hold the balance of power in government formation talks. The Green Party has found itself centre stage since the election and will soon face a leadership contest and what is shaping up to be a divisive vote on whether to enter coalition with Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. So what do the party members and the voters think about this defining moment for the party? I'm joined in studio now by Harriet Burgess, a barrister and young Green Party member. And on the line by Laura Donaghy, Chair of South Dublin Green Party, and Dr. Cara Augustenberg, Environmental Policy Fellow in UCD and also an environmental advocate. And thank you very much for coming into me today, Harriet, and to my other two guests on the line. I might start with yourself, Harriet, as a member of the party. What's your view on what you're hearing from the coalition talks and what deals and agreements have been made thus far? And because a lot of concerns, even in the papers today, around the fact that Eamon Ryan isn't getting a good enough deal to pass the party.
So what I'd say, first of all, is that we haven't seen a deal yet. So I think I'm being hesitant in ways, and I think a lot of other Green Party members are too. But I think personally, what we've seen thus far is actually really positive. I think the signals are all good. What I really like about what I'm seeing thus far is that the narrative around climate change in Ireland is really changing. So at the start of the whole negotiation process, we had Micheál Martin on The Late Late Show talking about our commitments under the Paris Agreement. I think that's a really, really positive thing. And I think the fact that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are acknowledging this, that's because the Green Party's at the table. And that's only a positive thing that's come out of these negotiation talks thus far.
Okay, so do you think it would be a mistake, almost regardless of what's on the table, to walk away, that the Greens are better off at the table in government arguing for the Green agenda?
No, I mean, in 2016, Eamon and Catherine walked away from negotiation talks. I think it's like there are certain red line issues for us, definitely. So we'll
what
all
are
have
they?
To.
What are your red line issues? Or
my red line issue personally is the 7% carbon emission reduction. I think that's the key issue for me that we'll see change across the board in terms of policy. Everything will flow from that. So that for me is a red line issue. But if that's there, I think Green Party members will look at that and would support a deal that includes that.
Okay, Laura, I think you're a little more sceptical about what you're hearing. What are your thoughts on it?
I think I'm a little more sceptical than Harriet, not because I disagree with what she says about the softening of language. I think that's a really, really positive thing, that whatever happens next, that we need to keep pushing, regardless of whether we're in coalition, opposition, going into the next election. But I think where we disagree is with the assumption that everything will flow from that. I mean, the people within my constituency group who are most, I won't say sceptical, but keenest to look in detail at a deal are people who were around in 2007 and feel that at that time we were promised the moon, the mood music was wonderful, you know, there were great aspirations. But the mistake that we made at that time was not getting firm commitments at the outset, because anything that wasn't there in black and white in the programme for government simply wasn't going to happen. You know, we're now in a position where, yes, the country is in a difficult position, but there's never a good time to do the right thing when it comes to climate action. It always involves a lot of cost for, you know, savings that are a few elections down the line.
And okay. So you'd be looking for firm commitments on more than the 7% then. Are there other things that you would have to see in black and white and that you think members in your constituency would have to see in black and white?
I think there are. When the letter with the 17 questions came out, you know, we surveyed our members and there was, I mean, more than 75% of them said that they wanted to see some combination of the 7% reductions, but also, you know, firm commitments on stopping the Shannon LNG project, on overhauling the transport budget, on public housing, on public land. And those are quality of life issues that affect people day to day, as well as being the sort of headline soundbite aspirations. You know, it's fine to say 7% reductions, but really and truly, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and every party in the country has committed to that through the Joint Oireachtas Committee on Climate Action. And yet here we are at the table 5 weeks into negotiations, and we don't seem, based on what we're hearing in the leaks, to be really much closer on working out how that's going to be done.
So if those things that you've just outlined there are not there in black and white, do you think, will you support it and will your members support it?
I think if some combination of those issues is not on the table, I think it would be very difficult to see how that deal could pass. For me personally, I mean, you know, we talk about delivering for members, but every member is first and foremost an ordinary person who lives in this country, will be affected by the policies in this deal. And, you know, it would be difficult to support a deal that's going to increase fuel poverty or wealth inequality because, you know,
you're talking there about, for example, carbon tax rebates, are you? There's news this morning
exactly.
that Eamon Ryan may have agreed, for example, that the funds gathered from carbon tax might not go back to people, rather they'd be used for a just transition fund, which is what Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have been arguing. So if something like that was to be agreed, would that be a major issue, do you think, for Green voters?
I think it would be a major issue for Green voters unless there are very clear commitments that would mitigate that in the whole programme for government. Like, we're hearing that it's over 100 pages. There's going to be a lot in there. And I couldn't point at one issue. I think you mentioned on the programme yesterday things like hair coursing. I don't see that as being a huge issue in and of itself. You know, it's our policy to ban blood sports, for example. But the bread and butter issues that affect people day to day, you know, because that's what we're talking about when we talk about, you know, carbon tax dividend versus hypothecation. Like, it's not academic, it's not jargon. Mm. It's people's quality of life, you know, and that's what we would have to
okay,
stand over as people.
As I said, we also have Cara Gustenberg on the line. And Cara, what Laura is mentioning there about the hair coursing, Niamh Lyons was talking about that on the show yesterday. And what she was saying is, as Laura says, it's not a big issue in and of itself, but the people that Niamh has been talking to have been saying that there are all these smaller issues, and you'll have a pocket of groups in the Green Party who might disagree with the hair coursing plan. There'll be another pocket who feel very strongly about carbon taxes. There'll be another pocket who feel very strongly about something else. And all those pockets will be enough to not get this deal across the line. How do you feel about that? There just might not be enough as a whole for Green voters in this.
Yeah, well, Sarah, as someone who's been advocating for climate action for nearly a decade now and other climate activists, we've all been demanding much more action on climate and biodiversity over the next 5 years in line with the science to address the crisis. And we are now seeing more climate action on the table than ever before as a result of the Green Party at negotiation. So I would agree with Harriet that 7% issue may sound like a single issue, but it is transformative because it deals with the transport issue, it deals with better quality housing, it deals with biodiversity and land use. And I actually think the Green Party members are members because they want transformative change. So I think at the end of the day, if this program for government is brought to members, as I think it should be, for them to vote, they will evaluate it based on how much transformation it creates and if that transformation is enough for them. So I don't think they will be single issue voters. I think they'll look at this document as a whole and evaluate whether or not it's significant transformation for our society.
And I know you're not a Green Party member yourself, Cara, so you won't have a vote in the leadership contest, but how much of what is currently happening with the leadership is feeding into the coalition decision making in your view?
Well, I think it's really unfortunate that it's a contested leadership decision right now, because I think that has undermined the Green Party's negotiating power with that kind of confusion about who will be leader. But I do think at the end of the day, the program for government will have a large say in what happens around the leadership contest, and that is the issue that everybody is concerned about right now.
Harriet, what do you think about the leadership issue and the concerns around that it's caused a lot of confusion and unnecessary distraction from the task at hand?
So I think we are where we are, and I think what's come out of this for me that's positive is that I've looked at the people who are running, and I've come out in, I want to support Eamon Ryan as the leader. I think what we need to do is give him credit for what's been done over the last few years. In 2016, there were 2 TDs. There's now 12 TDs that are green in the Dáil. That is a huge change. That's actually a 6-fold increase. I mean, everyone talked about this being Sinn Féin's election, but I think it was a continuation of the green waves. 12 TDs, 2 MEPs, 2 senators, 49 Green Party councillors. That is huge, and it's brilliant, and I think
that
is...
And what do you say to people then who are muttering in around the edges of the Green Party or sending WhatsApps or putting up tweets saying that Eamon Ryan only has his eye on a ministerial seat and he'll do anything to get it?
Well, I think... I don't think that's true. I think Eamon is... Like, he's fully qualified for the job. He's the only one in the party who's got experience in cabinet. He's also been on the Council of Ministers in the EU. And when we see what's going on in terms of policy in Brussels, that's where huge transformation is happening. There's an European Green Deal happening. There's also a biodiversity strategy being pushed through in Brussels at the moment. Okay. And I think someone who understands how the levers of power works, both here and in the EU, that's why I'm supporting him as the leader.
Okay, Laura, what do you make of the leadership aspect of all of this and the complications it might pose?
I was really surprised actually to see how much of an issue it appeared to be when it came out in the media, because where I am, I mean, it was always discussed as sort of a contingency that, oh, well, the election will happen and then we'll decide whether or not we're going into government and there'll also be a leadership election. You know, that was something that was already kind of my card personally was marked on that, and I didn't think it was going to be controversial or surprising.
Have you decided how you'll vote?
Yeah, I actually nominated Catherine Martin, but it's not because I don't think Eamon has done a good job. I think he's done an excellent job. I think Eamon has done a fantastic job of growing the party, as Harriet said. And now that we're here, I think with the party membership having doubled in a very short space of time, I think the next task is going to be articulating really who we are now, what we stand for, what we would go into government for. You know, it's not solely about what sort of world we want to build, but what sort of party we want to build. And for me, I think Catherine will do an amazing job of that. If she's leader, I think she'd be the best person for that job. But that's not to say at all that, you know, if we were a different sort of party and in order to change leader, there had to be a vote of no confidence, I don't think I would have a vote of no confidence in Eamon at all. But this is the way our constitution is set up. And when it was written, nobody expected coalition talks to be taking 121 days. So,
and what do you say then to suggestions and reports that Catherine Martin is kicking up a lot of the more contentious issues to the leadership, with, again, the suggestion around that being that when it comes down to it, she can distance herself from the final deal?
Again, that's something I was really surprised to hear from your reporter, because to my mind, Catherine has, I think she and Eamon are on the same team. You know, they're looking for the best possible deal.
Yeah, but they would disagree on some stuff, wouldn't they?
I couldn't say. I'm not as close to the
Well, we know they disagreed
party.
About going into government formation talks in the first place, for example. Well, so we know that she would be a little less enamoured with the whole project, at the outset at least.
That's true. That is true. What I am aware of is Catherine had said that we probably need more clarity on certain issues, like how we're going to get to the 7%. And in fairness, looking at where we are now, the issues that seem to be being kicked to the leadership, where there is a stalemate between the two negotiating teams, you know, they're exactly the issues that we had identified at the outset. It is things like exactly how we get to the reductions in transport, in agriculture, in energy production, you know, things that are potentially contentious. And if the two negotiating teams can't agree, if the Deputy leaders can't agree, I mean, that is the process. That's what's supposed to happen. I think, if anything, it proves that her judgment was pretty sound at the outset to say maybe we need more common ground to be established before we enter talks.
We have a text here, Cara, that I'd be interested in your thoughts on. It's from DJ in Waterford, and he says, I agree completely with Laura. We need more than just a vague commitment on 7% per annum reduction in carbon emissions and the social policies to do it fairly to back it up. The social policies should lead to a 7% reduction. The reduction should be built from the ground up. Climate action must not drive further inequality.
I mean, I completely agree. I think now more than ever, we know that with climate justice, we also need racial justice, and that those two issues are inextricably linked. And so issues like ending direct provision have now come to the forefront and are potentially red line issues. So I don't think these issues are separate at all. I see emissions reductions as part of a big carbon budget that affects every sector and affects society as a whole. So
as a Green Party voter, is there anything else that you would need to see in the deal to make sure that you would vote for it? Like, for example, carbon tax rebates.
Yeah, 155,000 people voted for the Green Party, not just Green Party members. And that's what got them through and got them the success that they got. And I think if they choose not to go into government, then the burden of proof is on them to explain how sitting in opposition is going to make them more effective and create the kind of transformative change that we need to address the climate and biodiversity crisis. So really, it's not about what issue is acceptable to me. It's about them proving that by not going in, they can somehow be more effective. And having seen lots of opposition parties, I'm willing to bet that they would not be very effective in opposition.
But the thing is, Harry, you've had your turn in government before and you got fairly punished for it. Now you're going into another period when there's going to be austerity, or if not austerity, there's not going to be a whole lot of money to go around. is it fair enough to say that the Greens would always be better at the table in that instance? Or if there isn't the money to implement the agenda that you want to implement right now, maybe now is not the right time for the Green Party?
Well, I think if there's a good deal on the table, we can achieve more in government than we would on the opposition benches. I think if we look at the last time the Greens were in government, there were huge changes made to planning laws in Ireland. There was huge investment into renewable energy. I want a deal to come back that is so good that the Greens can go to the people of Ireland in 2025 with confidence and say, you should elect us again. That's the kind of deal that I want to see coming back.
OK, just final question to yourself, Laura, because we've got loads of texts in on this from Green voters, or they're saying they're Green voters, saying that if the Greens don't go in, I won't ever support them again. Laura.
That's a really interesting point. I think to be honest, I completely agree with what Harriet said. You know, we've been at the table for 5 weeks. We've said, you know, we need to be at the table, this, that and the other, but we've been at the table for 5 weeks, and it's been a difficult negotiation by all accounts. You know, right now we're in the strongest position we will ever hold in this partnership. You know, you have Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael seeking our support. If we can't get really strong policy commitments now, when will we be able to set the agenda in cabinet? You know, when will they take a softer line? And if we do find ourselves in government, we don't deliver radical change. You know, we're up against a party like Richard Bruton, the Minister for Climate Action, was saying, you know, only 2% of people cycle, and therefore, why should they get more money? Mm. You know, when we know that building the infrastructure creates the demand.
Okay.
You know, but if we're wiped out, which party would you trust to push the climate agenda if we're not there to do it? We don't have another 9 years to spend in the wilderness.
Okay.
And if we're faced with a programme for government that doesn't commit to direct actions that put us on a path to meeting our UN targets, that doesn't commit to blocking Shannon LNG, that doesn't move towards sustainable energy, then what are we actually achieving as Greens in government?
All right, we have to leave it there. Laura Donaghy, thank you very much for joining us. Also, Harriet Burgess and Dr. Cara Augustenberg. We'll be back after this.